Hi there, Nathan Pierce here with another episode of The Frontline. We are going to be talking about a number of issues today. We're going to start out with a discussion of a recent opinion piece from the USA Today called How Can We Prevent Child Abuse? Tougher Rules for Homeschool Families Would Help. We're going to talk a little bit about being willing, wise, and winsome when it comes to homeschool freedoms and our advocacy for it. We are also going to talk a little bit about homeschool research, why it's important, and how you can use it to make a difference. Welcome to The Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on The Frontline. All right, let's get into this. I want to go ahead and start with this USA Today story. We will get into a couple of different pieces on child abuse while going through this, but I just want to start out with this ridiculous headline, How Can We Prevent Child Abuse? Tougher Rules for Homeschool Families Would Help. This is in the USA Today, published on April 4th, 2024. And it's important to recognize that this is published as an opinion piece. It is very much opinion, as you will see throughout. There are some statements made as though they were fact, but they are in fact just opinion. So the author of this article is the CEO of National Children's Alliance. And it's important to recognize that this person is leaving out significant parts of the picture here. And so let's go ahead and start with the issue that it kind of follows in the same footsteps as a lot of the Washington Post articles that we referenced before regarding the detail or the vagueness. Detail versus vagueness. We're seeing a lot of these accusations or these claims made about homeschooling in general and how in general, homeschooling looks like this. But ultimately, this article specifically is talking about abuse and talking about homeschooling and abuse and talking about the lack of research, talking about how the lack of applicability of laws for homeschool students. Some of this information might be accurate. Some of it is vague at best, but I think one of the things that we can look at very clearly is that this article leaves out a significant portion of the picture because it doesn't actually reference actual studies done on this topic, the topic of child abuse and homeschooling. And the references that are made as though it were studies is actually showing the claims are that kids in public and private schools, this is quoting, kids in public and private schools are less vulnerable than their homeschooled peers because the staff have opportunities to identify the signs and symptoms of child abuse and to notify authorities. Now, this is patently false. If you look at the statistics, at the studies that have actually been done on this, there's nothing that supports this statement. It's just an opinion based on what somebody believes based on I'm not sure what, but there's no indication that there's any evidence behind it here in this article. There's no references, no citations, no indication that there's any statistics to support this claim that homeschool students are more vulnerable than public school students. That's just that's a baseless claim, and it's counter to the actual studies. For example, Dr. Brian Ray and Janie Shaquille have done that. They did publish, I believe it was last year, maybe March 15th of 2023. If you take a look at that link, the National Home Education Research Institute did publish that study that was done by those two gentlemen, Dr. Ray and Dr. Shaquille. The findings of that study, I'll just reference briefly. The findings, cross-sectional findings suggest that school sector is a non-issue after considering the role played by demographics. That is, child abuse and neglect are significantly associated with family structure years in foster care, large family size, and household poverty. Homeschooling and child abuse is not the issue. This is coming out of a study that was done on this. A real study, not just a vague feeling. Homeschooling and child abuse is not the issue, and conventional school and child abuse is not the issue. Demographics are the key to explaining differences in rates of maltreatment. If anything, the weak incidences of child abuse among homeschoolers are not related to family, but with school and community. That is, the maltreatment is not happening at home and within the family, but by others at places and activities such as co-ops, part-time classes at a public or private school, or a pod, museums, sports activities, music lessons, scouts, church or synagogue, or a playgroup. So this, not only does it fly in the face of things that are claimed to be as fact in the USA Today, but it also actually goes directly contrary to the claim made in the end of the article that is the is the solution to this so-called problem. Get a load of this. So this is incredible. Toward the end of the article, the claim is made, "We need regulations to keep kids in school during an active investigation." This is investigations of abuse. If there is a child that's under investigation for abuse, we need to keep them in school until authorities can be sure that the home is safe. Okay, given the fact that more kids in public schools are abused than that are homeschooled, it's pretty bizarre that a claim would be made, that a argument would be presented, that the solution to the problem of abuse is to keep the kid in public school where much abuse happens. Even this study that showed that if a student is being abused, it's more likely to have happened in a public school than at the home. So why would somebody make the argument that we should pass public policy to require children to be stuck in the place where they're more likely to be abused than in the place where they're less likely to be abused while an investigation of alleged abuse is investigated? This is pretty bizarre, but we can go back to remembering that this is an opinion piece. I know it might not sound like an opinion piece with the claims that are stated in here, but we can recognize this is somebody's beliefs, it's somebody's opinion about what reality is, and it may not reflect actual reality. In fact, the studies show that it does not actually reflect reality. So somebody with a belief about reality that's different than what studies show has presented their opinion as fact. It's not accurate, it's not true, and we don't need to be threatened by it, except to be concerned that people might actually believe it. Now, that is a concern. So what I would like to go into next is recognizing that there's an important place that actual real research can play in defending our homeschool freedoms. Because this article from the USA Today, this opinion piece that lays itself out as fact, is a dangerous threat. Not a threat to us knowing whether or not something is good or not, because we know what reality is. If we look at the statistics, we can learn what reality is. Looking at this article helps us to see that people can be swayed, and people may listen to this article, read this article, and actually believe the claims that are made in it. And that would be cause for concern. And so I think it's important for us to be able to be prepared to respond to people that do believe the claims made in this opinion piece. So how do we do that? Well, we have to be able to go to sources like I just cited, like the abuse study done by Dr. Ray and Dr. Shaquille. It's important to be able to know where these resources are. If you go to National Home Education Research Red website, or you go to Homeschool Legal Defense Association's website, or even sometimes you might even find it helpful to go to the website of the Department of Education. The U.S. Department of Education will have a lot of statistics that may come in handy from time to time. But you can go to these resources and find actual data, actual information that's based on statistics, studies, and research instead of based on somebody's feelings and beliefs about something that perhaps they experienced or they heard a story about it. It's important to recognize the place of research as representing more reality. And I'm not saying that somebody's experience or a story that they heard is not doesn't need to be concerning, because when abuse does occur, which it does, we do know that, when it does occur, we need to be taking it seriously, and we need to have laws about that. But we don't just make a blanket law saying all homeschoolers are abusers, especially recognizing that that's generally speaking, even if we are speaking in vague terms, it's not true. It's not accurate. It's not a reflection of reality. So going back to recognizing research, we need to recognize, too, how the legislature thinks about these things. Society is moving in a direction where there is a desperate desire to have connection with everyone. Of course, the only way to have connection or relationships with everyone is to only have shallow relationships. Thus, we have influencers and politicians who only think of people in terms of masses and herds rather than as individuals. We see this in the legislature regularly. Politicians and government leaders live in one small circle and give only token interaction to everyone else. They have to think of people as numbers because there are so many of them, and that's all they can do. Legislators here in California and politicians in every government around the world think of people in terms of numbers. They live in an ocean of statistics and research that is presented to them by experts from either interest groups or from their own constituents. The statistics come from every direction on every imaginable topic. Because legislators and their staff can't be experts in every field, they need others to guide them through the uncharted waters where they lack knowledge. This is where you come in. Experts and constituents can build relationships with legislators and their staff and have a tremendous ability to influence public policy and elections. Usually, both policy and elections are influenced through considerable sums of money being donated to political campaigns. The other way it is done is through the painstaking process of befriending individual people and building personal relationships over time. This helps people to be willing to listen to you when there comes a need for that. This kind of relationship is absolutely essential, especially if you're not extremely wealthy. This kind of relationship, however, and the influence it can have, is highly reliant on one other element, and that is having accurate information, including, and perhaps most importantly, detailed and up-to-date research. In my 25 years of visiting with legislators and their staff, specifically on the homeschool issue, I have found that they are constantly looking for the latest data and analysis of that data. They desperately want to have information and to have access to the individuals that can give it to them. If you want to be able to impact the decision makers around you, become an expert. To do this, you need access to research. To get access to research, someone first needs to do that research. That is why it is absolutely essential to continue to fund and develop new research and analysis that can provide information about private home education to those that influence our society. NERI and HSLDA and others have been involved in research over the last 40 years, but there are new groups contributing their own research in order to be able to continue to influence those seeking data and seeking information. We must continue to fund and contribute to gathering and dissemination of up-to-date, accurate research. Do you want to influence policymakers and get them to defend homeschooling? You will become their expert and their go-to person if you have the research and you know how to use it. So, we have an event coming up shortly, and I'll put a link to it down below, where we are trying to encourage and train people how to make contact with their legislators at the local level. You don't have to drive all the way to Sacramento, but you can learn how to establish your own expertise by reading some information on studies that have been done on homeschooling. You can provide that information to your legislator or their staff at the local office where they work. And you can do this with the confidence knowing that you have solid, researched information about homeschooling. We put together a packet that provides all the answers to the most commonly asked questions that legislators and their staff ask. So come and join us at this event and learn about advocacy. Learn how you can make a difference. Learn how you can have this packet of information on homeschooling and how you can deliver that to your local legislator's office, providing them answers to questions that they have about homeschooling, and befriend them and be their go-to person for the facts about homeschooling. So with that, I want to go into just some encouraging words about how we should be thinking as we are looking at being an advocate for homeschooling. And I want to start with a couple of verses from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when there is no one pursuing, but the righteous are secure as a lion." So, you've heard that term, bold as a lion. Well, when we look at what we need in order to be an advocate for homeschooling, I like to think of three W's, and that is willing, wise, and winsome. Willing, wise, and winsome. And to be willing, you just have to go out and do it. You just have to be willing to be used to go and advocate for private homeschooling. And that means you just have to go and do it. You just gotta do it. And you don't need a lot of background. You don't need a lot of information. All you need is some basics about homeschooling and be willing to go and do it. And so you can be bold as a lion, just like anyone else out there that goes and talks to their legislator. So we can send you a packet and it will equip you. Go to this training. It's an online webinar that you can attend from your home. It's not very long. It's only 15 or 20 minutes, and you will be equipped to go and provide information to your local legislator's office on the issue of homeschooling. So be bold, be willing, and be secure as a lion. Next, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, starting in verse 12. "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before glory. He who responds with a word before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." And verse 15, "The heart of the understanding acquires knowledge." The heart of the understanding acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So when we're looking at learning and being wise, when we go in and talk with legislators, we have to be willing to listen. We have to acquire the knowledge first, and we have to be willing to share that knowledge, but we have to be willing to go in humility, not in pride. Be willing to go in humility, not in pride. So that's being wise. And lastly, winsome. Let's look at Proverbs 16:21. Proverbs 16:21 said, the wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of lips increases learning. So the wise in heart will be called understanding. The sweetness of lips increases learning. And the concept here is that not only will you be able to be teachable and learn things, but when your lips are sweet, when your words are kind, when you are speaking in a gentle manner, those hearing you will be more likely to learn things. All right, that's it for today. Hope you are able to join us for our webinar on advocacy. Hopefully you will be interested in pursuing how you can be willing, wise, and winsome. That's it for now. See you next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.